Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It is a brand new year, and it is my desire to kick off this brand new year in a banner kind of way, and I couldn't have done finer than the guest the good Lord himself has brought forward. He is a gentleman by the name of Willie Harris, but I'm going to save who he is and what he is about for the other end of our homily. But I guarantee you will love this man. He brings the joy of the Lord, and I am so pleased that he will grace this broadcast today. Drawing upon the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter, please. There's a wonderful line in the 11th verse, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Let me reiterate, please. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that in this current climate, this mental milieu that seems to be going awry, breaking down into thousands of pieces, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that we're being spoon-fed so many things that are folly and corrupt and degenerative, so many things that are deceptive, and quite candidly, they are outright lies. We live in an era of deception, often masquerading under the guise of sophistication and the powers of intellection and the modern academy. But it is ultimately a frightful demonic assault on human dignity. The Bible tells us that you and I were made in the image and likeness of God. What a precious and powerful reality that is. And from the very onset of the Word of God, we find in the book of Genesis two particulars or qualities that speak to that image. On the one, it means that we are spiritual. We were made in the image and likeness of God. God is spirit, and he has made us to be just like him. Not God per se, but to be like him. As we go about our lives, as we have breath, we are in the image and likeness of God. The Bible says something else of that image. Right past that first dictum is another. We read that we have been made male and female. He created us in his image and after his likeness to be male and female. And this now speaks not so much to our spirituality, but in complement to our sexuality. There is a dignity and a beauty and an aesthetic and a purpose to God making us as men and women. We live in complement to one another. We exist to bring fruition to one another. And in a fallen world, a world in which sin has infested us, now our sexuality and our spirituality have been corroded and corrupted. And so we need we need salvation. We need a corrective. We need deliverance. The academy can't provide it. Government can't provide it. Even human common sense can no longer provide it. But the Word of God can. And therefore, again, from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, it will be by way of the mouth of a righteous man. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, not a cistern of death, but a well of life. But the word that brings life, the message of deliverance and of salvation, can only come from the righteous. And who are the righteous? The righteous are not those who look to themselves in a self-contained kind of way. Over the last 100 years, there's been a philosophy afoot that has made such steady and pervasive ground. The notion is that man in the universe is alone. That's a frighteningly bleak reality. Thank God it's not true. God is in the heavens, and God who made the heavens and the earth continues to watch over his creation. And certainly he watches over his people. Those who look to the Lord are the righteous. Those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. I love how Proverbs puts it elsewhere. Forgive me, it may very well be the book of Nehemiah. There are a couple of complementary texts, but it says that the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to that tower, and they are safe. But in their security, they are learning. They are imbibing the wisdom of God's word. And when they take leave of the tower and go amongst their fellow men, they have a word. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. From Proverbs 12:6, we read that the mouth of the righteous shall deliver them. It will be, you know, I recently underwent open heart surgery. I had a quadruple bypass. I had a wonderful surgeon, a lovely younger woman who I am told is the best of the best. And she operated on my cardiac muscle, the vascular problems that beset it. And I am so grateful that I was delivered from that cardiac affliction by a young woman who had studied and who knows the cardiac muscle and who is skilled in the surgical theater. But for the deeper issues that beset us, the things that invest our souls and that can corrode and corrupt them, no surgeon, no professor, not even any preacher or ecclesiastic can accomplish one's deliverance. It will be by way of the word of God and the mouth that speaks it. That mouth shall be a conduit by which deliverance is brought to people. I love, there's a text in the later portion of the New Testament, the small little book called Jude. It's one chapter, and you could easily bypass it. But there's a statement in that little letter in which Jude encourages us, and I quote, that we will need to snatch some souls, that is. We will need to snatch them out of the fire, the fires of judgment, the fires of condemnation, as the world is consumed by its own hatreds and by its own sin. But how does one snatch them out of the fire without being scalded? It will take wisdom, the wisdom that comes from the word of God. From Proverbs chapter 12, the 17th verse, he that speaketh truth shows forth righteousness. It is so important that those of us who are preachers, and my guest has a preaching component to his life and ministry. I've been a preacher now, in formal terms, for 35 years. I've come to understand one thing, if nothing else, that for my preaching to have any worth or any substantive fruit, I have to be living the life I preach. My life must be an embodiment of the word of God. Not that I'm perfect, but I must be sincere. I must be en route. The Bible says that he that speaks truth, because it's also a truth that he lives, righteousness is brought forth. You know, I work with a group called the Philadelphia Bible Society. We exist to freely distribute the word of God. And that's at the core of our sense of purpose, that we distribute, we make available the word of God. The larger American Bible Society, now also based in the old city of Philadelphia, at the core of their sense of purpose is the engagement of Scripture. They want you not only to have that Scripture in your hands, but they want you to be reading it and working with it. But for every single local fellowship, for every single preacher worth their or his weight in gold, we need to be embodiments of the Word, distributing and making available the Word, speaking the Word, engaging the Word, embodying it. I love how Paul puts it in his letter to the Philippians, that you and I who look to him, and I know my fine and very dear guest does, those who look to him, Paul says, I love the imagery, we are to shine like the stars in the universe. as we hold forth the word of life. We are to shine as the stars in the universe as we hold forth the word of life. You know, we don't see the fullness of the cosmos as we did when we were much younger. When you look up into the sky, we see some of the stars, but there was a day. Maybe I have no doubt that, the environment has something to do with it. But there was a day when you would look up at night and you would see this vast collection of stars adorning the cosmos. When I was last year in Maine and on Cape Cod, and I looked to the sky at night, and my goodness, there it was all over again. It was magnificent. God's people need to be stepping forward, and I pray that this broadcast is one initiative amongst what I trust are so many more of allowing the Word of God to hold forth and to speak. And it is my prayer and plea that my life, as I speak it, is substantiated by righteousness. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. You listen to those who both speak and embody God's word. It is our ticket, friends. God bless you. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. In speaking of the mouth of a righteous man as holding forth the word of life, not too long ago, back in mid-autumn, I had the pleasure of encountering a gentleman. He was nothing shy of magnificent. He was standing on a street outside of the Reading Terminal Market in Center City, Philadelphia, and he was belting out a song. And, of course, that is his means of livelihood, so I dropped a few coins in the bucket as well as a leaflet courtesy of the Philadelphia Bible Society. I thereabouts turned the corner to enter for lunch, and the next thing I know, that song ended abruptly, and this gentleman began belting out an evangelistic message like there was no tomorrow. I was stunned. I came back to listen to the sermon, and as God would so have it, this gentleman and I, in that moment, became very dear friends. Mr. Willie Harris, many of you may know him if you pass through or by the Reading Terminal Market. Willie, God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Bradley.
It is a consummate joy, Willie, to be sure. You have taken my heart. You have taken the heart of two individuals who have been with me down on the street, one gentleman, one lady. You have taken my church by storm. I have a strong presentiment that you're taking the kingdom of heaven by storm as well, as the scripture says, but in a very beautiful and salutary way. Willie, I want you to share with us your story. You're a man of faith. You're a very sincere and transparent one. Tell us your story. How did you come to know Christ? What has Christ brought you through to the extent that you're comfortable? Tell us your story.
I grew up on the streets of Philadelphia. I'm 71 years old. I was come up in a single parent home, my mother, and she did the best that she could. But I was a wild child growing up. I took to the streets and found myself getting into all types of troubles. And that carried over into my young adulthood to the point where I was incarcerated. And while incarcerated, somebody told me, listen, Jesus can set you free. And when they said set me free, I automatically thought about freedom on the outside of the prison. And so I started going to the church. And my heart was not right with God. But he's such a kind and a loving, merciful and grateful type of God. He answered my prayer and set me free. Yet I still did not completely submit myself to him. I had got incarcerated a number of times after that. But then as I started getting older and older, and I talked to my grandkids and other family members, children, and I felt a distance that I didn't know them and they didn't know me. My daughter told me, I don't know you. But she knew another man in her life as dad. So I had a chance to sit down and really ponder things. And that's when I decided that I need a change in my life. And that's when I recommitted myself to God, asking him this time to show himself to me, to help me do something I'd never done before. And that was to walk off of probation. I've never successfully walked it off before because I was always doing things in my own strength. And I was never fully surrendered unto God, to Jesus. But the point came where I knew that I could no longer do it, where I was afraid that I would die in prison. And that's something I did not want. It would have been easier for me to come out here and submit to God than to stay and exit this earth incarcerated. And so God finally let me out, but he let me out on probation. And I was determined this time that I was going to walk it off. And I thank God that I successfully walked off my probation. And as I submitted more to God, well, let me tell you what happened. My son told me, he's a bishop of a church. And he told me, he said, sometimes you got to get alone by yourself. You got to forget about everybody else outside and go to sleep, wake up, pray. Go to sleep, wake up, eat, and pray some more. And that's what I started doing. And that's when God started working into me more and more. First, he showed me, and I didn't like me. But then he reminded me that I could be a new creation in Christ Jesus if I only allowed him to change me. And that's what I did. And next thing I know, I started getting speaking engagements. And I started singing. But every time I sung, it would always come to the point where I had to mention God and thank God because I'm still here because of him. He delivered me from a lifestyle. He saved my life because we all know that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's what he was doing to me. He had already destroyed a lot in my life, and he stole a lot from me. But I'm reconciled with my children, with my family today, and I thank God for that. Not only that, there, I have a whole new set of friends and another extended family that has supported me. And I'm so ever grateful for that, dear. My mission today is to spread the word of God, to try to help reach other souls. I'm involved in prison ministry, belong to an organization called Community Forgiveness and Restoration. And we assist those who are returning citizens from prison. We provide all different resources for them and help them to have a different perspective on life now that they're back out here. And of course, we are a faith-based organization. And so God is helping me by allowing me to share what I went through with others, because everyone on the outside that's in the church is not equipped to deal with everyone. So God take people who were incarcerated to deal with those who were incarcerated. And I thank him that I'm one of the ones that he chose. There's not a day that go by that I don't have an opportunity to share God's word with others. I sing secular songs outside, but I always come back to God. I open up with him, in with him, and in between, he's there with me. The one thing I remind a lot of people of is something that's so very important to us, but we take so very lightly. And that's the very air that we breathe. To me, it's God's breath. Because if we're disconnected from it, we're empty this earth. So I remind people of the very air that they're breathing every day, that it is a gift from God. And some of them, you know, they have something smart to say. But that's nevertheless, God's word has to go out. And by sharing the story of God's breath with others, it helps me to show people just how much we really need God, that without him, we are nothing and we will not exist. And show his favor in spite of the lifestyles of a lot of people, he still blesses us with life each and every day because it's his desire that we all would come to repent and be reconciled unto him.
Willie, when you speak of breath and breathing the air that God gives to us, you were recently with us, and I think you took a copy home with you. I completed a manuscript and had it privately printed, Breathe, Blossom, and Build. In the opening salvo, The thesis is, breathe the beautiful fragrance of your Heavenly Father's holy and saving love. And it is evident on the one hand to me that that is precisely what you do. It is also illustrative of all of our lives that it is so easy for noxious fumes to corrupt our spiritual lungs. What I love about you, and we can talk about this in the next segment, to the extent that you are comfortable, but you bring to the table a sincerity and a transparency. And I think for people who are struggling, especially those who earnestly want the Lord, but they're struggling in their flesh, your testimony and your experience can be of such extraordinary value to them. And clearly you so lend yourself. But Willie, we must take a break. Brad Lacey and Willie Harris, we return with another round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Willie Harris returning for another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Willie, you've been sharing your story. And from my vantage point, I love something that Martin Luther King once said. I'm not an authority on King, but there was something he did say that is so memorable to me. Never underestimate the power of testimony. You've been sharing your story, and to me, it's fundamental. And built into your story is a depth of sincerity and transparency. You're not afraid to speak where you went awry. You do so, however, in service to the truth and to the freedom that can be ours in Jesus Christ. So I'd like to the extent you're comfortable, explore this just for a moment or two. To what extent have your besetting sins or the traumas and trials that have come out of that, to what extent do these parlay now into blessings as you endeavor to minister to other people? I'm not suggesting sin is ever to be endorsed, but God wastes nothing. And you can call upon a wealth of experience, as clearly you do when you enter the prisons, clearly you do when you're on the street. How is God using you, do you think? I guess that's the fundamental question. How is he using you and who you are and where you've been?
I believe God is using me because of different organizations. I'm also a member of Crime Survivors, as well as the Community Forgiveness and Restoration. And they are both, all of them is dealing with people who are victims. And I was a victim, believe it or not. Because I'm a crime survivor, but I was on the other end, the person committing crimes. And a lot of people, when they come home from incarceration, they come home to nothing. They come home to nothing. And so they're prepared to go right back. So God has let me know that it's easy for me to communicate with others because they don't trust a lot of people. People that were incarcerated, they don't trust. And they can't be, a lot of people can't relate to them, but more than that, a lot of people are afraid of them.
Yes, yes.
They are afraid of them. So God uses people who were incarcerated to reach them. And this is how he's helping me now. At one time, they would have came home and I would have assisted them in furthering their career as a criminal. But now I help point out to them the benefits of leaving that type of lifestyle. But more than that, I help show them the resources where they can stay out here. Freedom is your most valuable possession. And I help them realize that there. I have the organization is pretty big, and they have Dr. Gene Wright. He's in, he's the CEO and chairman for, I think it's Community Behavior and Health. We have judges, attorneys, a district attorney, probation, parole. There's so many resources for them. But I'll say we are a faith-based organization. So first and foremost, we let them know you can't do it on your own. This is one reason why we feel miserably, because we try to do it on our own. But sometimes if somebody can see that you made it, I know you, and I know the lifestyle you was living. What changed your life? Who changed your life? And it gives me an opportunity to introduce them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only one that can change our life. He's the only one that can go back to your past, your present, and your future. Nobody else can do that there. So he can go back and deliver us from that past.
If I may, something that I articulated in the homily, direct from Scripture, nothing original to me, and I think that it resonates with your talk. Jesus said in John 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You're clearly not only a sincere and transparent man, but you're a very forthright man. You go right to the heart of things. And that is essential in the redemption of these men and women.
We have to show them, you know, that you spoke about your testimony. Our testimony carries a whole lot of weight. But more than that there, your lifestyle is what they see. They see something different in you because they come to you with the same mindset, but they find a different person. And they trust you because they knew that when you were committing crime, you had their back. And so there's a song by Helen Baylor. It's called, Can You Reach My Friend? And a lot of us can. Yes, we can reach a friend. We can even reach our enemies because God said he'll make our enemies even be at peace with us, where they can even listen to what we have to say and come to Christ. Because if God sends us to somebody, his word is not going to return unto him void. And so that's the only thing we really have to give that's valuable, but it's so valuable. And this is how I appreciate God using me now. I sing love songs. But my greatest joy is in sharing his word with others. And the greatest joy is when somebody hear it and they come and they say, yes, I would like to have what you have, man. You done found something that I think I would like to have. And this is how God is using me today. You know, it's not always easy because sometimes, I'm not going to lie, some people get on my last nerve when you're trying to, because what they want to continue to do is talk about the olden days when you did this and that. They want to, and I said, listen, I'm not glorifying that there. I don't glorify that anymore. And then they want to put you down. But that's to be expected, because some people's hearts are so I'm trying to think of the word. They're no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I can't remember the word that I'm looking for. But they're no longer sensitive to God's word. He's given them over. He's turned them over to Satan, some people. And I hate to see that there, that happen, because they curse God.
They become retrograde. Is that the word, retrograde?
And that's what really bothers me, because then they start cursing God, and they'll curse me also. And let me know that, hey, you're the one that's going down the wrong path. You need to get high, or you need to come on back. You're the one that's lost.
Well, Willie, it's quite possible, and I'm sure you know this, that your life of righteousness is actually lending conviction to them, and they're resisting the conviction. That may not be the case with everyone,
right.
I have found that often, that they're resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you become the fall guy for that. Let me ask you this as well, because I met you on the street, and as you know, I have a dear friend who does something similar down in the old city of Philadelphia, David. In fact, David's been on the broadcast as well. What took you to the street to do what you do?
Sometimes, and it's your record. You know, a lot of times they tell you, listen, your record will not be held against you, but that's not the truth. You encounter a whole lot of, we'll call you, or we got better candidates than you at this here time. You know, even though I have education, but I was incarcerated, I attended to different colleges. That's including Bible colleges, as well as Schuylkill Community College and Luzerne Community College. Business administration is my field. But when I got home, it was hard to get a job. I'm 71 years old, and I had a lot of strikes against me. So I looked at the gift that God gave me, and that was singing. And so I utilized that there, and it helped supplement my income. But at first it was strictly just singing for the income. But then I started thanking God for the blessings. And he's brought me to the point where I can live within my means and be comfortable. But more than that, there, the real blessing comes from being able to share his word.
Yes. Well, I mean, I mentioned it at the onset of our time. I'll speak of it again. When my friend Jim and I, when we turned our back on you in a physical sense, because we were going into the market to get some lunch, and as we walked around the corner, all of a sudden you stopped your song, dead sentence or dead lyric, and you erupted in this wonderful, very clear and a very convicting evangelistic message. We were stunned. I mean, pleasantly stunned. In fact, we'll put lunch on hold. We wanted to come back and listen to you. You clearly have a gift to preach, let alone to sing. Now, we're going to get into that in the next segment because we only have a few seconds left. But I would love to know what took you to that particular spot out in front of the Reading Terminal? Was it just perchance or was it by design? We have about 30 seconds, okay?
I woke up one day and SEPTA told me I could no longer sing at 15th and Market underground.
Really?
Because I'm amplified.
Oh.
So I had to seek out another spot, and God took me to the Reading Terminal.
Well, let me tell you right now, praise God, because you have utilized your beat, if you will, like a policeman has a beat. You are utilizing your beat to his glory. Praise God. Brad Lacey and Willie Harris, we come back with the final round in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Willie Harris returning for the final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Willie, this has been such a charm and a joy for me, and it will not be your last invite to this broadcast, I can assure you. What I'd love to ask you right now, I met you on the street. You were belting out a song in front of the Reading Terminal Market. My friend Jim and I were there. He was as enamored as was I. As you know, a lovely friend of mine was with me another time, and you sang a beautiful song to her. And I'm enamored of your presence on the street. You bring something, and it's not simply your musicality. You bring the presence of Christ with you. And that does not mean that you are perfect. None of us are. We've shared together of our own respective pitfalls. We've prayed together. We've encouraged each other. You bring the joy of the Lord. It's just something precious. Let me ask you, you bring the presence of Christ to the street. That's what the street finds in you. But what do you find on the street? What's happening out there? What do you encounter?
Down at the Reading Terminal and throughout the streets, I encounter a whole lot, because on my way to the Reading Terminal every day, I pass through different neighborhoods, and I see the conditions of a lot of our people, be it young or old. I see that there's a lot of drug-infested neighborhoods and a lot of people out there, and you'd be surprised, because they're also those you would never think that they are addicted to drugs, because they're functioning alcoholics and drug addicts. And a lot of times when they come to you, they always got their hand out for something, but they're not looking for Christ for real. So I got to the point where I know most of them downtown, and I'll feed them. They say, listen, I need some money because I'm going to get something to eat. I said, let's go inside. I'm going to get you something to eat. I can do that for you. I don't feel led to give them all a part of my finances. Some of them I do. But you have to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit with them, because they're out to take advantage of them. And God don't have no fools, for real. He doesn't. And if you're walking in the Spirit, the Spirit is going to guide and direct you each and every day. That's what I had to learn how to do. I had to realize that every time I left the house, there's an enemy out there waiting on me. A lot of times I'm always praying to God. And yes, it's good to depend on God, but he also gave us the knowledge that we have an enemy out there. And so every day before I go outside, I have to dead in this flesh so that I can walk in the Spirit. If I don't do that, it's easy for Satan to come up against you. So you have to, first and foremost, you have to pray and have the Holy Spirit to go with you when you get outside there, because he's the only one that can protect you, not only from them, but from yourself, because he's on a mission like you are.
Yeah, I think, too, by virtue of the fact that you're solo out there, you're even, on the one hand, more vulnerable, but on the other hand, you can become such a great conduit of the Holy Spirit. It's imperative that people back at the ranch, and by that I mean those of us back at the church, that we be praying for you. You have such a, look, I used to go out onto Market Street, where the Burlington Coat Factory was or still is, and I would distribute scriptures, courtesy of the Bible Society. And I remember some of the challenges doing that. But I also remember, Willie, one occasion, I used to like to walk around. I'm kind of antsy. And I found myself over by the Greyhound bus depot. And there were two women, and I shared with them the Word of God. I put Gospels in their hands. And I knew who they were once I got up close. I was a bit naive as I approached them. They were prostitutes. I was probably the first guy to approach them who didn't want their bodies for a fee. I wanted to give them the life-giving Word of God. And I remember as I walked back from them, and I turned back to look at them, because I finally realized who they were. Again, I entered with some degree of naivete. Willie, they were reading what I gave them. I praise God. Now, I would never have approached them at night. That would be a whole different climate. But I just remember two prostitutes receiving and reckoning, at least in the immediate, with the Word of God. God used my naivete in that moment, just as he has used your experiences to be able to reach people who are otherwise in crisis. Let me also, how long have you been doing this?
About 6 years, 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to say that some of them know Christ.
Yeah.
And they come and say, pray for me.
Yes.
Because I need the strength. I need God to deliver me from this here.
Yeah.
And they be, some of them cry and they be sincere. Some of them do, and they come back. And to the point where, just like you and I became friends,
yes,
I've become friends with some of them down there now.
That is a joy to hear, truly, because I know David down the street in front of, 4th and Market. We're good friends. I love meeting you guys. I can see that you're making a difference. You know, you'll appreciate this, not this past fall, but the autumn of 2022. After my wife passed away, I took a leave of absence, and I went up to my I'll call it my alma mater. I'm a New Englander, so I went up to Cape Cod and spent some time with a cousin. I went up to Maine and spent some time with some Christian friends. And I also went over to Wales, which is my spiritual homeland, Wales over in the UK. And since I'm over there, I'm going to take a couple of days in London. So I'm walking along the Thames River on the South Bank, which is across the river from the Houses of Parliament. You come up the steps and you cross the bridge, and the Houses of Parliament are right there. And there was this very lovely, she was a black woman. I think she was African. And she was sharing the gospel with everyone. And she had some literature to give them. And so I spoke to her, and I'm thinking her name was Margaret, but don't quote me. Phyllis. I spoke with her, and I wanted to encourage her. And she let me pray with her, and she just was aglow. And I would imagine that there are people who want to encourage you, just as you want to minister to others.
Yes, some of them pray with me too. That kind of, it surprised me at times when some of them do that, because it just goes to show you that even like some people look at me like I'm homeless and like I'm a beggar down there, and then you look at some people, you say, oh wow, they're not the cleanest people in the world. They look like they're addicted to sin that day, but you'd be surprised when they pray for you too. Someone said, let me pray for you. I appreciate you, and I thank you. And some of them won't even take the finances. They say, thank you for the prayers. You know, but you just can't look at a person and just judge them by the way they look.
Well, I want to assure you of something, and I saw this from the moment I encountered you, and you have substantiated it by coming out twice now to our church. You bring a dignity. You bring, when I use the word cleanliness, I'm speaking in spiritual terms, a righteousness. It's more of a religious word. Not everyone understands it. But you bring a dignity, a righteousness, a freshness, and a joy that is so badly needed on that street. Willie, I praise God for you. I truly do. And I praise God we can do this again because we're out of time. Brad Lacey and Mr. Willie Harris, we wish you every blessing of God. Thank you for listening. You take care.